Then your wings let me hide myself. Then your wings let me shelter, comfort, and strength when the walls of life come crashing in. I will rest.
Your one man can give.
sight, you Lord. Won't you forgive us for looking towards politics, towards the government to solve all of our problems, Lord. Forgive us for that, Lord.
It is the problem, Lord.
We were just talking and praying earlier, Lord, that we are your children first.
Yes, Lord.
We follow you first, Lord.
Yes.
You are the answer to all of life's problems. You're our healer. You're the God of science. Redeemer. Lord, I pray for unity and peace, not only here in this body of believers, but in this community along the Fox River Valley, Lord, and along further into the state of Illinois, Lord, further into our country, Lord, I pray for peace. Lord, I pray for those who walk with you, Lord, that their eyes would be on you, Lord, especially in this time of trouble. You are our strength, you are our refuge, you are our strong tower, you are our help. Thank you for reminding us of those things, Lord. The world will have trouble, always will have trouble. Those reminders that we need you, oh God. There will always be illness, there will always be death, there will always be tears, there will always be sorrow, but those are reminders that we need you. And I pray for those who are troubled today. Lord, I pray for your peace that passes all understanding. Especially for the believers who are walking with you, Lord, I pray for strength for them today. And I pray for those who are not walking with you, Lord, that everything that's going on in this world, Lord, that lead them to you, oh God, because you are coming back. You are coming.
Yes.
These are reminders, the groanings and the aches of the earth, for reminders that come soon. Lord Jesus, come soon. But in the meantime, we pray for those who are here, Lord. Lord, we don't want any of our kin or anyone lost, anyone perish, Lord. Thank you for your peace and thank you for your joy. We have in the midst of all of this.
No.
Give us new insight and understanding, Lord, and help us to live in accordance to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to live in this world, but we are called to be ever mindful of the world that is yet to come, the life that is yet to come. That our goal, our destiny, is to think more about eternity, because that's where we're going to be, than on this earth. We are supposed to focus ourselves in on the finish line. We're not supposed to pay any attention to the course or even the conditions of the race, but the finish line. That's where our focus is to be. Unfortunately, for most people, we don't think that way. It's not natural, if I can say it that way. It's not part of how we're made. I mean, if we were to record all the thoughts and everything that we had in any one given day, we would likely find that our daily concerns, our daily plans, life on this earth, is by far more of what we focus in on. We, like it or not, we think more about our finances and our safety, our health, our retirement plans, or even our legacy. We think about all of those things, which actually are the things that make up that race, or that condition of the race that I just talked about. When in reality, what truly, truly matters is crossing that finish line. Even if it means crawling across that finish line. Getting across that finish line is what matters. Luke gives us a little bit of warning about worldly conditions in Luke chapter 21, starting at verse 34, he says, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close in on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on watch, and pray that you may escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Amen. Likely every one of us can relate to that line in there, that issues and problems with life close in on us unexpectedly. Now, if we're not careful, we tend to wander. We tend to drift away, which is why Luke tells us to pray that we can escape that trap. Amen. But Luke actually has a bigger picture in mind here. It's not about individual events or individual circumstances in life. The bigger picture that he is painting here is about the end times and the return of Jesus Christ. Are we ready for that particular event? He is warning us to be ever watchful. He's warning us to be ever expecting, ever living for that day in which it will come in a flash. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." Immediately, when we think about that verse, when we think about that day, that final time, that going to take place? When is that going to occur? When should I expect that? In our, dare I say, dull, human, worldly-focused mind, we come up with answers like, it's been 2,000 years since Christ has walked this earth. He hasn't returned yet. I doubt it's going to happen in my lifetime. Mentally, we know what Scripture says. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. But for some reason, we read through that text and we struggle with it. We struggle with, when is it going to take place? And then we again allow our minds to be consumed about what's going on around us instead of what lies ahead of us. Somehow, we assume that because we don't know when it's going to happen, that it's not going to happen until I'm ready for it to happen. And that's absolutely the wrong mindset. We tend to blow past Matthew's words in chapter 24, verse 36. No one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Mm-hmm. From the time that those words appear on paper and we read them and they enter through our eyeballs into our brain, we rearrange those words. We change them around, and our mind reads something more like, we don't know, we don't need to know, let's not worry about it, go back to focusing on our own goals. That's how we translate that in our humanness. If we believe that everything in Scripture is accurate and true, we can be assured that the day will come when everything that is written there will be fulfilled. Do we get to know the exact, precise day and hour and time? No. But that in and of itself is the very reason that we need to be ready all the time. Because we don't know the hour. One thing is for absolutely sure. We do not want to miss that day or that hour.
Amen.
We do not want to be standing on the other side going, uh-oh, it did apply to me.
Yep.
That was something I was supposed to pay attention to. See, there are no rewinds or redos in life. We don't get to take a mulligan. There are no DVRs to replay when we miss the live event. It simply doesn't happen that way. We need to live every day so that we are ready for the grand finale that has been planned. One of the things that Scripture offers us is some clues, some ideas of what will happen in this corrupt world that we live in. Signs, things that we're supposed to watch for, events that will take place. Now, this is important, and please hear me very loud and very clear this morning. Please hear what I'm about to say. I am not a prophet. I do not have any kind of a divine revelation from God for you this morning. In what I'm about to say, I am not claiming that I know exactly how to interpret the world or the events or anything else that is happening around us. I want to make that very clear this morning. What I can tell you is this. While I was reading Scripture over the past week, the Lord prompted me to reread a specific passage of Scripture. And not only to reread it, but to put some thought into what that Scripture says, into what is written there. And what we see happening in the world all around us in this day and age, some of those things may be things we need to pay attention to. Some of those things may be things that we need to think about a little bit more, as opposed to just brushing them off as crazy events or whatever they are. Let me read the scripture to you this morning that the Lord prompted me to reread. Luke chapter 21, starting at verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and that the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all of this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors on account of me. This will result in your being a witness to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you the words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win life. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment, in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against its people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Before we go any further, I'm going to reiterate this morning, I am not claiming that I have any kind of supernatural knowledge or understanding of the last days. That's not the point this morning. I am not in any way claiming that specific events are fulfilling the text that we just read. I just know that I read this text for the umpteenth time a week or so ago, and this time it took on some new meaning to me. This time the Lord prompted me to reread that and pay attention and to look at what is written and not brush things off. It spoke just a little bit clearer to me. For example, even after all the teaching that Jesus had been doing with his disciples, all the instruction, all the direction, all the miracles that he had shared with those men, they were still impressed and smitten by the beauty of things, by the material objects that they saw in the temple, by all of that worldly stuff. That's the first thing that we read about this morning. Look at how beautiful this temple is. Jesus had to steer them away from that beauty and help them to focus on the beauty that is yet to come. After getting their attention, they then asked about the timing of the events and when is all this stuff going to happen. And Jesus gave them a few things to chew on here. He said, first of all, be on guard. Amen. Be ready. You know, when I think of that statement many times, I think of the soldiers in England. You know, you all seen the pictures of how stiff they are. Nothing causes them to flinch or move or turn away or get out of their zone. That's what we're supposed to be like. Be on guard. Be ready. Don't listen to false teachers or false teachings or all the lies that people want to spread. And today, there's a lot of people taking the Word of God out of context. Don't be swayed by false teachings. He goes on to explain some of the things that we can expect. He tells us things like there are going to be wars and there will be revolutions. Those things are going to happen. It's part of the end. He says people and nations are going to be unhappy and rebel. Beyond people, the earth itself is going to give us some signs. Jesus said there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in very places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Then he went on to talk about the thing that we want to hear least of all, persecution. People will turn on us. People will persecute us simply because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Scripture says you will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. And they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me. There's not a one of us sitting here this morning or watching this that ever want to think about being betrayed by our own family and friends. But Scripture makes it clear that in the end times there will be a dividing line. And that kind of event will take place. Next, Jesus talks very specifically about Jerusalem and the things that involve that chosen nation of his, even saying Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. That speaks of a very specific amount of time. It doesn't tell us what it is. It doesn't give us that information, but it speaks of a very specific time frame, a predetermined amount of time. Christ even tells us that, as he said, shared all these words, that there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars. Again, remember, I'm not a prophet. I'm not claiming this is absolute. But I wonder if things like the Bethlehem star that just appeared a few short weeks ago is one of those types of signs that we should be thinking about or looking at. I mean, after all, a star that is so close and so bright for the first time in 800 years doesn't sound like something we simply just blow off or dismiss. Sounds to me like it's something we ought to think about and chew on a little bit more. All of these events will have their toll on man. Verse 26 of our text says, men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. I'm not going to tell you that Christ is returning at any designated hour. There's been plenty of people who have tried to do that over the years. And we know that that is not for us to know. And I won't even go so far as to say that star or any other event is specific to what's being spoken about here. But I will tell you this today. Christ is going to return.
Amen.
And we better be ready. We better be ready. We cannot continue to live like the world tells us to live, no matter what. No matter what events come up or things happen or what takes place, we cannot live the way the world wants us to live. We cannot think that all of those words that are written in Scripture have been written for some other generation at some other time. They are for us here, today, now.
Amen.
In the late 1960s, a gentleman by the name of Larry Norman wrote a song. And that song expressed this very idea of being ready. In fact, the title of that song was, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. There's been a handful of artists over the years that have remade or rewritten or republished that song. But the words, the weighty words of that song still hold true today. I'm going to read those words to you this morning. Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold, a piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A couple of those verses I read are repeated, and then it says, there's no time to change your mind. How could you have been so blind? The Father spoke, the demons died, the Son has come, and you've been left behind. This song paints a pretty clear picture of what is yet to come. And Scripture spells out pretty much what this song has been talking about. The day and the hour are unknown to any of us, but it will happen. It will take place, and it will happen quickly. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. And the only warning we will receive is the warning that is already already been written for us. Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 36. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will return. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We have no excuse. Whether we can interpret the signs of the times or not, whether the events detailed in Scripture have happened, are happening, will happen in a year, or in some other future generation, the bottom line is we must be ready. So this morning, I simply ask you a question. Are we ready? Lord, some very heavy words you've given us. Some things that cause us to, or should cause us to reflect and think and evaluate, weigh out decisions and thoughts and perspectives. God, those are words that we should hold near and dear to our heart and apply every single day of our lives. Lord, I just ask that you would help us to be consumed by you, to be consumed by your word, to be consumed by the truth that you have spoken to us. God, that we would turn from the wickedness of this world, that our thoughts would not be consumed by mankind or the ways of mankind. God, help us to honor you with our hearts and our lives, our very beings this day. Lord, you don't want anyone to perish, and certainly we don't want anyone to perish. Would you speak to the hearts and lives of people that need to hear from you today? God, would you be louder and clearer than you've ever been before to the hearts and lives of humankind?
Yes.
Perhaps there are some who have heard your word but never made a decision from you. God, would these words make it clear to them? The choice that they need to make in life?
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would draw people unto you. God, I pray that you would bring people into your fold, into your kingdom, into your house.
Yes.
I pray that you would change those that need to be changed, God. And I pray that we, those that call you Lord and Savior of our lives, God, I pray that we would live as if you are Lord and Savior of our lives. That we would be fixed and focused on the eternity yet to come.
Yes.
And not on the temporariness of this life that we are allowed to live. God, speak to your people today. In Jesus' name.
Some
Take the peace that only God